Christians are not as strong in the Lord as they once was. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 8, when we look in the Word of God and we see what the Lord, you know, and I just study the second coming and the prophecy and what is headed our way, because I think it's God wrote it so that we could understand it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, when we say last days, we know, well, we've been living in the last days since the Lord went back to heaven. That's, it's true to a point. But we know that today things are much worse than they were 10 years ago. The economy may be better. You may have a better paying job. You may have this. But as far as spiritual, you know, most churches don't have Wednesday night service. A lot of churches don't have Sunday night service. And those that do, their number is down. That's a falling away. We're not talking about when somebody's sick. We're not talking about when they're providential hindrance. But we see that, and we know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Verse 2 said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boaster, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. It's living in a time when no matter what we have, we want something better. And there's nothing wrong with that, except what do we have to sacrifice to get it? Are we going to sacrifice time with our spouse? Are we going to sacrifice time with our children? So what are we going to do to get? So God says, you know, men shall be lovers of their own selves. And we live in a me generation now. Me first. He said, covetous. I'm thankful, and it wasn't from the grace of God that, you know, my closest friend, he bought a 2021 Cadillac. And I said, that's nice. He said, I had to finance it 7-8 years. I ain't seen that car off finance for 7 or 8 years. But that's what he wants. He can pay for it. There's nothing wrong with it if that's what he wants to do. But we're covetous. We're boasters. We're proud. We're blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful and unholy. Now notice verse 3. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Oh, you old goody two-shoe. You think you're better than what we are. Well, I'm probably worse than you are, but I've been touched by the grace of God. Traitor, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I mean, when a person plans their year out, when they're going to be gone, how many Sundays? Where does God count? come in here? Where does the Lord come in? Well, I believe verse 5 tells us, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, I realize that when you do that, and I said it when the whole church was here, so I'm not ashamed to say it again, or, you know, people do not understand church discipline. And that's why it's not effective. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, God said, from such turn away. What does that mean? For of this sort are they which creep into houses, lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts. Now, this is the problem. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And somebody may say, but Brother Upwash, you're going to talk about the second coming. I'm telling you what's going to happen before he gets here. And these things are going to happen, and they're going to happen. And the sad part about it, we accept it as norm. We accept it as norm. But God said, having a form. Verse 6 said, for of this sort are they which creep into houses, lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with divers lusts. Now, God said in verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The prime example of that is the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. She's a very intelligent woman, but she got a selective subject she's intelligent about. And you know people, some you've known all your life, it's the same way. But now verse 8 said, now as Dennis and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. I put this as the number one on a survey of events in prophecy. The first event that's going to take place, and it hasn't just started, it started years ago, the falling away. When we look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. God said, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. What does that mean? When people enjoy it, and when people don't. That's what in season and out of season. You know. Reprove. What does that word mean? That means that if a member is doing something wrong, and I know that member is doing something wrong, I need to go to that member in private and talk to that member about that. Isn't that what the word reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine? But no, we have came to the point, even in raising children, that's just the way Junior is. Now Sally, she listens and she's good or whatever, you know. But that's just the way he is. And now, so that child grows up being just that way. That's the way he is. And he grows up thinking it's all right to be just as he is. That's what's happened to the church. But God said, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Now, where do we get our doctrine? You don't go talk to a member or you don't go talk to an individual about spiritual things and say, now, they're my friend. Words that you may talk to your friend is not inspired. If we're going to help somebody, if I'm going to be an instrument in God's hands to save a lost person, I can't read them poetry. I can't sing them songs. I got to give them the word of God. That's the only thing that God has said will be helpful. So the Lord said, exhort with longsuffering and doctrine. What does the Bible say about your behavior? Verse 3 in chapter 4 said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. It's here. It's not coming. It's here. God said, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they keep to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're not going to sit under preachers like me unless they're saved. They'll find somebody that will soothe it down, make them feel good in their sin. Because after all, we're all sinners. Isn't that what Joe Osteen says all the time? Don't put the man down. We're all sinners. Yes, we are. But some of us are saved sinners. Amen? God said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear it. Verse 4 says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I don't want to go to a church that says preach Bible. I want to go to a church where I'm entertained. My buddy, Tom Sutherland, I'm talking about Tom. We've been friend for 50 years. He said, you know, I didn't realize he's got some barbershops in different places. He said, Southern Christians have got a satellite church almost everywhere. Yeah. And when some join that can sing and play the instrument, they'll start somewhere else. I love music. I don't believe you can be saved by music. I don't think you can be saved by music. I don't care if you can sing How Great Thou Art, Amazing Grace. Unless you take that song and put it in the context, it's the word of God and not entertainment. Now, we look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Notice what 1 Timothy chapter 4 says. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, Pastor, they left here, but they went somewhere else. Yeah. They went to another church that don't honor church discipline. So therefore, we can't honor letters from them because they did not stick to the Word of God. In Matthew 24, verse 3 through 8, you can mark that. It said, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall the signs of the coming of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet." So, the first point in our survey of future events in the prophecy is the worldwide apostate falling away. When you choose a Bible that has complete verses missing, part of verses missing, changing the English to something more modern because we don't understand, but yet, if you understand anything about the Word of God, it's God that's taught you. Because the natural man cannot understand. So if you understand that you're saved by grace, God taught that to you. Our second point is the rapture of the saints and the first resurrection. You know, talking to a lady, and she's like many people I know. She's going to die in the condition she's in, generally speaking. There's nothing they can do. So she says, "My hope is that the Lord comes back today." Now, she said, "You may think it's selfish, but if the Lord came back today, that means the last one of His elect has been saved." Because He's not going to come back until everyone that the Father gave Him and He died for is saved. So the rapture of the saints in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. Paul said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." It's always so important that you know who he's talking to. This isn't talking to lost people. He said, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." See, I'm going to see my mother again. I'm going to see my dad. I'm going to see my two brothers that I've never seen. He's going to bring them with him. That's one good thing about the rapture. If your parents and people you love is saved, they're going to come with him. And he said, "For if we believe," and now notice, "for if we believe," little key word, "if." Don't say anything about if you go to church, if you've been baptized, if you've done this. But if you believe, brothers, when you believe, a change takes place. That's what we have missed in our society. It's just like falling in love. If you truly fall in love, something happens. So, I think the question to ask, you know, I say, are you saved? I, you know, be talking to, say, Brother Steve, and I said, Brother, are you saved? Have you been born again? And he says, yes, I am. I said, do you love Jesus more than you love yourself? Do you love Jesus more than you love anything else in this world? I believe that's the difference between having Jesus as my Savior and not having Him as my Lord and Savior. See, there are a group of people that they think when they get married, the husband ought to lord over their wife. You know, you get behind me and you do all that old foolishness. But they don't understand that when you get married, you become one. But Jesus, oh, sweet Jesus, He said, yes, and the Spirit speaketh expressly. So here in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. You know, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then we sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. See, it's not enough to say, this is what I believe, so you should believe it too. No. Paul told the church of Thessalonians, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. In other words, I'm going to show it to you in His word. I'm going to tell you that by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. See, it's, if you understand Psalms 23, you know, a saved person, they really don't die. They leave this body. But, you know, the 23rd Psalm talks about just the shadow of death. Just pass by. But if you understand how quickly, when a person dies, before you can bat your eye, he's in glory. When Brother Matt's mom passed away, you know, we said, she's gone. And most of the family start running outside, looking up in there. By the time they took the first step, she was already there. You're not going to see that body going up in the air. You got to go through two or three doors and, you know, I don't care if you're outside. God said very, very clearly, you know, that we need to understand that I would not have you to be ignorant. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also will sleep, and Jesus will take with them. There's no mention of the lost being resurrected in this passage or in 1 Corinthians 15. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read this portion of Scripture at the graveside services a lot. But here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So those that have died before us, they got a, whatever the smallest amount of time is, you know, they're on their way, and we're going to follow. And the reason is God said, for this corruptible, in verse 53, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. I don't care how sweet you are and how good you are, and you've never seen anything you can imagine, that body you've got is sinful, and that's got to be changed. It's got to be changed. That's what God said. For the corruptible must put on incorruption. This body has got to change before it can enter heaven. This body would not feel comfortable in heaven. That's why the lost people, really, really bad lost people, I'm talking about, you know, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're lost, but if you're a, you know, just one of the worst lost people you can imagine, the kind of preaching that I preach, they couldn't sit still. Because the word of God would disturb them. It'll disturb a church member when that church member is backslidden. Because when we go to heaven, this corrupt body got to put on incorruption. Complete change. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. See, so really when a saved person dies, there's victory in Jesus.
Amen.
If we want to sing a good song at a funeral, victory in Jesus. Because the only way you can have complete victory is to die in the Lord.
Amen.
Now, you see, if you understand those things, you know, death is no bother to you. You know, not that you want to die. You don't want the saved person to die. You know, I believe my mother was saved. I didn't want to see her die, but when that last breath left her, I know that she wasn't sick no more. No more pain. No worry. That's why God said to die is gain. If you're saved, to die is gain. So only thing I'm saying tonight, if you're truly saved and in God's will, don't fear death, because death will be a blessing. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. Oh, I tell you, you know, you get into the Revelation and you start reading these verses. But in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, John said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you these things which must be hereafter. I'm going to give you a glimpse of what's waiting for you. So when we read Revelation chapter 4 to 19, it's incredible to think that they are on earth and not mentioned
But they're not mentioned. Only those who God saved. The third, second thing that happened is the judgment seat of Christ for the rewarding of Christians. And this event will take place in the heavenlies, while the tribulation will take place on earth. You know, I think it's amusing that some of the brethren that I've had preach for me, and I've preached for them, I love them, I think they love me, but they believe they're going through the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And I said, the only thing I can tell you guys, I'm going to spend 3.5 more years with God than you are. Because God has not appointed his children to wrath. Not after the rapture takes place. But God said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, now listen to this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. He says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he have done, whether it is good or bad." Oh, preacher, it don't make any difference how we live. We're saved. We can't ever be lost. Really? It doesn't make any difference? This is the judgment of saved people. Great white throne judgment is for lost. But God said here, you know, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he have done, whether it be good or whether it be bad." Why would you be judged for good things? Did it for the wrong reason. You know, it's like, you know, we pass the offering plate and somebody's going to give $100 bill, so they hold up that $100 bill so everybody sees it. You might as well fold it up and put it back in your pocket. You give it out of a heart of love. It's not how much you give, it's the heart of which you give it in. But I'm just showing you some of the things. Romans 14:10 says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." We all. And it's not going to be a pleasant time. The old songwriter that said, "No tears, no tears in heaven," it's a cute little song, but it's not scriptural. There's going to be tears in heaven. But then God's going to wipe those tears away and there'll never be another tear. But see, our motive why we do things is so important. You know, it's like, I'd rather for my kids to just text me and say, "Happy Father's Day, Dad," than I would for one of them trying to outdo the other in what type of gift they would give me, see. See, when I'm serving God, it makes no difference if nobody sees it, as long as God does. See, so Romans 14:10 says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Then we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Beginning with verse 9. Paul here writing to the church of Corinth said, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master building, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth upon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon a foundation of gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Now notice verse 14. "If any man's work abide which he have built thereon, he shall receive a reward." What does it mean, abide? That God accepts it. That it's made out of spiritual stuff. And then verse 15, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yes, so as by fire." So we know that is the judgment seat of a saved man. Even though he's going to be judged because he did it for the wrong motive, but he's not going to die because he's saved. See, so all we got to remind ourselves, we're serving the Lord. And we want everybody to be satisfied with our work. But you may be satisfied with my preaching, and I may be satisfied with you, but is God satisfied? That's the question. And this is going to take place when people, you know, say, "Oh, I hope the Lord comes tonight." Are you ready? I'm not asking you, are you saved? Are you ready to face Him in judgment? See, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. In other words, you did it, but you did it for the wrong reason. So, that's just what we need to understand and what we need to see. I mean, I don't know how many hours I've put in these studies. I mean, I've got 4, 5, 8, 10. I don't know how many studies altogether, but I thoroughly enjoy it because that's why I'm so avid. If God don't say it, we don't preach it. And if God didn't say it, we don't tell nobody that He did. Because we're relying on God.